God has really blessed me. You know, he let me work in D.C., let me work with EIB in Hollywood, in Silicon Valley. And he's shown me through all those experiences that there is one problem and one solution, and that's why we do this show.
Welcome to A Disciple's View with Todd Herman.
When God had never created the world, he didn't snap his fingers or wink his eye. The Lord spoke. He said, "Let there be light." Another translation I just love is "light be," because we believe we speak about the happenings in this world as we remain mindful that our true home is with Jesus Christ and his kingdom. I'm Todd Herman. Welcome to Disciples View. If you've ever struggled with the phrase, "My burden is easy and my yoke is light," man, I got to tell you, God spoke into me on that this morning in a way, just explained it to me. See, being a Christian, many people have been taught to believe is supposed to be an easy thing. After all, you convert, you are saved, you have God inside you, you have the Holy Spirit, the kingdom of heaven within you, therefore things are easy. Well, the fact is this, the Lord himself said, do not be surprised when you face troubles in this world. Troubles are you're going to face, and we're going to have that. And I've been talking with a friend of mine who is, well, he's been through some experiences similar to things I'm going through. And so Kevin is able to hold me to account and share with me context and experience. But he himself struggles with that phrase, my burden is easy and my yoke is light, because of what he went through. So he has sometimes said to our pastor, like, I struggle with that. Well, I'm going to share with you at the end of this program what I think the Lord, well, I know the Lord provided me, and I wonder if it might help you. It has to do with point of view. And speaking of point of view, one thing that we do on this network, we take a different point of view than all other networks. We talk about God at the center with news at the edges, news surrounds it. God's always at the center. So is serving the least of these. You can go to afr.net/Bibles for Babies, where this is starting in HQ Tupelo, Mississippi. And it's going to make sure that there are babies do not leave this birthing center, this care center, without Bibles. Because the presence of a Bible is a life changer if it's used. One way to make sure it's used is to make sure that it's in the hands of babies. $10 will provide one new Bible for a precious life. It's Bible. It's afr.net/Bibles for Babies. What a ministry. And yet there is news to discuss. Something I want us to think about is how everything has changed, except nothing has changed. Everything has changed, except nothing has changed. It's very unsettling. Wait, now it's Kamala Harris running for president? What happened to Joe Biden? What about the 14 million votes the party of democracy took? They're the party of democracy. Just ask them. They're all about democracy. And now those votes are forgotten. Do you notice that this has not been questioned in the Mockingbird media? Think about this. At no time has CNN run a piece on this saying that this is insurrection-y. 14 million people voted for the figurehead, not for Kamala Harris. The Democrats have a convention coming up. They could have a discussion, a debate even, about who should be the standard bearer for their party. But they're not going to. They're just switching. And illegally switching monies. Just take money from people who donated for Joe Biden to continue to act as figurehead. Give it to Kamala Harris to go be figurehead. That's illegal. Can't do that. Yeah, okay. Everything's changed. Except nothing has changed. God still sits atop the throne. God is still ripping curtains in half, saying, you see, here's how corrupt it all is. God still wins. We still stand with God. We stand in victory. The demons are still doing their thing, becoming ever more bold or desperate. It doesn't matter if they're bold or desperate. It doesn't matter. Because God wins. So while everything has changed, really nothing has changed. We still have a shadow government in a deep state, a compliant media, doing everything they can to pretend Kamala Harris had nothing to do with the border. She was never named border czar. except she was named Border Czar. They didn't use the word czar. That's true. They just gave her all the power to be a czar, power she chose not to use. Why do that when you can give speeches about yellow school buses? Why be serious? Everything has changed, and yet nothing has changed. God himself, unchanging, unchangeable. Still, I do wonder about some things. For instance, I wonder if anyone actually likes Kamala Harris. Chuck Schumer seems to be insincere in this enthusiasm.
From the grassroots bottom up, we are here today to throw our support behind Vice President Kamala Harris. I'm clapping. You don't have to.
Yeah, no one did. From the grassroots. Oh, that's right. It was 14 million people who voted for Kamala Harris, grassroots. And then the donor class said, well, we'd prefer to run the figurehead Biden, but the people have spoken. We have to run Kamala Harris. No, the opposite is the case. The donor class said Biden can't win or he's going to die in office. That's not what I'm wishing for. Incidentally, I'm not. I want Joe Biden to come to repentance before Joe Biden dies. That way he can be saved, because I don't think he is. In 2020, the Mockingbird media hid the Hunter Biden laptop story. In 2024, they're pretending Kamala Harris was not in charge of the border.
They beat her with their fists, we believe a rock and a metal pipe. She was raped by four of these youths.
You better believe that I hate the people that took this girl and raped her brutally. You better believe it. And it's more than anger, it's hatred.
Donald Trump disrespecting black folk is nothing new, and called for the execution of five innocent black and brown teenagers.
And it's more than anger, it's hatred.
I'm Joe Biden, and I approve this message.
The reason they're running from the border, that the Mockingbird's media is running from the border, is so ads like that can continue to circulate. We can go through piece after piece after piece. For instance, this, ABC Phoenix hasn't been memory-holed.
Harris was appointed border czar in 2021, but she has not visited Arizona's border.
But wait, that was an ABC News affiliate saying that Kamala Harris was appointed border czar in 2021. The Lord tore the curtain in the temple in half when the Lord Jesus died. The Lord said, no more intermediaries. You don't need the Pharisee class, the Sadducee class to come to me. You come to me through my Son, who is the truth, the way, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through the Son. Here's the ripped curtain. Now you can be in the Holy of Holies. In fact, even more than that, the Holy of Holies can be within you in the Holy Spirit. I truly believe that in America, our temple is government. Not yours, not mine, but as a nation. It is the idol for so many who spend their time fully engrossed in news and fearing what's going on in the world and not doing enough at home to preach the word of God. I plead guilty. Not as guilty as I used to be. God has changed me, and praise him for that. The temple curtain is being torn open. Wisconsin swing voters see through the duplicitous and craven Kamala Harris.
Who do you blame for President Biden being in office in this condition? Who deserves the blame?
His close staff. They work with him every day.
So I think that's what also makes me nervous about the Vice President Harris.
Yeah. Talk about that a bit.
So yes, she's going to be in it, but she also helped keep him in where he's at right now. And if he really is as bad as what they've been saying, I think if he steps down as president and she steps into the presidency before the end of his term, it almost makes me question a little bit more why it didn't happen sooner. She's worked with him. She's been, to my understanding, with him daily or at least a couple of days a week. Why hasn't this been brought to attention? If she's willing to hide that type of information once she's in office, now what she's willing to hide for herself?
Well, Kamala Harris has proven herself to be a person who's willing to pretend for years to be Indian American. Or is she pretending to be black? she has both heritages in her background. But in the case of intersectional politics, which is a tool of Satan, it is. Surely Dot didn't say you die, creating a special class, a special interest. She chose one all of a sudden. She is willing to be whatever she must be to have whatever she wants to have, whatever her flesh desires. Her flesh. Kamala Harris believes you should be able to kill a baby at any point of a pregnancy because, you know, your body. But Kamala Harris wants to regulate you out of eating meat.
If elected, will you be supporting change in dietary guidelines? And then how will you plan on implementing the changes so that people effectively change their diets?
So the answer is yes. But I'll also say this. The balance that we have to strike here, frankly, is about what government can and should do around creating incentives and then banning certain behaviors. I mean, just to be very honest with you, I love cheeseburgers from time to time, right? I mean, I just do. And I think that, there has to be also what we do in terms of creating incentives that we will eat in a healthy way, that we will encourage moderation, and that we will be educated about the effect of our eating habits on our environment. And we have to do a much better job of that. And the government has to do a much better job of that.
So, I mean, I'm just saying, you love cheeseburgers. I mean, we all do. I don't know whether
you know, from time to time,
try the Beyond Burger, the Impossible Burger, right? They try, but it's not quite the same. That's my personal opinion. But would you support changing the dietary guidelines? The food pyramid. But people to reduce red meat specifically.
Yes, I would.
So, but why? Do you want to know how to make cows less impactful to the environment? Because all of us have an impact. We're an ecosystem. Want to know how? Free-range cows. Free-range cows are better for the environment than cows that are locked up. They are better for the environment by a long shot than the Impossible Burger. How could I say that? Because of all the trucking of ingredients in to make the fake meat, the energy systems to run the cookers that cook the fake meat, the packaging that packages the fake meat. What is meat? It's meat. What else is it? A common blessing from God. People who want to be gods, of course they want to provide their own version of manna, plastic meat. President Trump makes a good point about the brazen liar and duplicitous power seeker, Kamala Harris.
If Kamala will lie to you so brazenly about Joe Biden's mental incapacity, then she will lie to you about anything. She can never, ever be trusted. She can't be trusted. And just like crooked Joe Biden, Kamala Harris is unfit to lead. She's unfit to lead. She'll destroy our country in a year. This country will be destroyed. A vote for Kamala is a vote for four more years of dishonesty, incompetence, weakness, and failure.
The core reason that professional Republicans and Democrats are uncomfortable around President Trump is this. Remember what I said at the top of the show? Everything has changed, but nothing has changed. Kamala Harris, meet the new boss, same as the old boss. That's it. That's the thing. That's the rub. That's the fly in the ointment, to use a series of cliches. President Trump is change. He is sometimes chaotic. He's sometimes rude. Sometimes says preposterous things. He is change. That's what they can't stand. The change that we need cannot come without a full examination of the character of Kamala Harris. I'm going to share with you a clip that shows and demonstrates an inarguably cold, duplicitous, lying, mean-spirited heart. And I will show you how I would have answered the question that was given to a Department of Homeland Security employee, a line of questioning from Kamala Harris. This should close the case on the state of her soul. We're not the judges. That's God's job. Let's be discerning together. We'll do that as we continue. I'm Todd Herman. This is A Disciple's View. Appreciate you listening to Disciples View. We at AFR are helping to make sure that in HQ, that is Tupelo, Mississippi, starting a program, it's called Bibles for Babies. $10, a one-time $10 donation, will make sure that a little baby never has no access to a Bible. They're going to go home with a Bible. And this initiative is in honor of John Mika Cockrell. And this is a friend of AFR, employee of AFR, does great work here. Anne's precious baby who left this world far, far too soon. So she's decided to use this pain to make sure that others are armed with the ultimate comfort. That's God's word. You've heard her on Hannah's Heart, a radio show to help Christian couples struggling with infertility, miscarriage, and it's hosted by Anne Cockrell and Kendra White. And here's how you can make sure that these little babies go home with Bibles. It's afr.net/Bibles for Babies. Coming up, I want to share with you insight God gave me into a piece of scripture my friend Kevin and I have been not puzzling over, but asking God to explain. My burden is easy and my yoke is light. And the Lord Jesus said, don't be surprised when you face troubles on this earth. And the Lord Jesus faced the biggest burden any human has ever faced and told us to expect to be persecuted. And he said, my burden is easy and my yoke is light. And sometimes it's not easy being a Christian. Kevin and I have been discussing this. He has faced a challenge similar to one I face. And he's been helping me with that. I can't wait to tell you what God told me or he communicated to me. We're talking about discernment and that everything has changed, but nothing has changed. Because really, it feels like, oh my gosh, there's been a change at the top. Now it's Kamala Harris. Well, it's always been Kamala Harris or Joe Biden. None of them are truly running things. How can I say that? Do you think Kamala Harris has the power to name herself the Democrat Party nominee? No. No, that all happened behind the scenes. It always happens behind the scenes until they became desperate. I think they truly thought the court system would knock Trump out for them. Invented fake felonies would knock Trump out. The Republicans couldn't vote for a felon, not a 36-time felon, when all of us can see that those aren't felonies. It wasn't even a real misdemeanor. We could see that. And I believe, and I understand this is controversial, I believe at the top they made a decision to let one attempted assassin through. The evidence in my mind continues to mount that they decided to, hey, let that guy through. Maybe he'll get a lucky shot in and take Trump out. Then we can keep figurehead Biden in place. That didn't happen. And the Democrats were forced to do in public what they've been doing in private for years. Remember Seth Rich? Seth Rich was probably murdered, not in a robbery, because they didn't steal anything. Robbers don't traditionally shoot you in the back as you walk up to your apartment and then not take your expensive cell phone, watch, credit cards, and cash. Generally, that's not what a robber does. A hired killer does, who doesn't know who Seth Rich is, just has a picture and address. There has been rumored for years that Seth Rich was the leak about Hillary Clinton's emails. He was upset, is the rumor, that the Democrat National Committee had stolen the primary from Bernie Sanders. Factually, they stole the primary from Bernie Sanders. That is a fact. And now they've stolen it from Joe Biden. Maybe Biden stepped down out of conscience, but he doesn't have a conscience. There's no demonstrable proof that he has a conscience. So everything has changed, and yet nothing has changed. Because the power players who put Kamala in place and moved Joe to the side have put Kamala in place. And I don't know that Kamala Harris has a conscience. I see no evidence of one. In this clip, Kamala Harris demonstrates three things. She has a frozen block of meat as a heart. She's only capable of bullying from a position of absurdity to people over whom she has authority, and she's been lucky to have not faced someone who could take this conversation and thrust it back in her face, politely and yet forcibly.
Ku Klux Klan, the KKK.
Well, the Klan was what we would call today a domestic terrorist group.
Why? Why would we call them domestic terrorist group?
Because they tried to use fear and force to change political environment.
And what was the motivation for the use of fear and force?
It was based on race and ethnicity.
Right. Are you aware of the perception of many about how the power and the discretion at ICE is being used to enforce the laws? And do you see any parallels?
I do not see any parallels between
I'm talking about perception.
Officers and agents.
I'm talking about perception.
I do not see a parallel between what is constitutionally mandated as it relates to enforcing the law.
Are you aware that there's a perception?
I see no perception.
Are you aware that there's a perception?
That puts ICE in the same category as the KKK. Is that what you're asking me?
No, I'm very specific about what I'm asking you. Are you aware of a perception that the way that the discretion.
I see no parallel.
I'm not finished.
I see none.
I'm not finished. Are you aware that there's a perception that ICE is administering its power in a way that is causing fear and intimidation, particularly among immigrants and specifically among immigrants coming from Mexico and Central America? Are you aware of that perception?
So much to this. That man was doing his best to politely answer her questions. And Kamala Harris was setting him up for a perjury trap. Did you catch that part? She said there's a perception that exists that creates a similarity between ICE and the KKK. She said that. Then she asked him, are you aware of a perception that the KKK and ICE are similar? Had he said no, clearly, she could have come back and said, you just perjured yourself. Because I told you there's a perception that the KKK and ICE are similar. It's a somewhat slick prosecutorial trick, ham-handed, because Kamala Harris is not blessed with a speaking ability that one would want to tout. She was blessed by being on the dais of being the senator, therefore controlling the line of questioning in the conversation. So how do you confront something like that? To me, I would have said, I think, now in the moment, heat of the moment, who knows, I might have screamed, I might have fallen out of the Holy Spirit. My flesh might have taken over. I might have. God has prepped me personally for dealing with things like this, praise God. So here's what I think I would have said. Madam Senator, may I answer in full? And let that sit there. Madam Senator, until you informed me that you have heard or perhaps hold the view that ICE has a similarity to the KKK, it had never occurred to me that a law enforcement agency tasked with securing our border in as humane a way as possible, a constitutionally prescribed role that we have under monitoring from this body and the Department of Justice, would be compared to cowards who wore white hoods and terrorized black people to the point of death. In fact, I would have to say that someone who believes that is hopelessly naive or perhaps has been persuaded by a cold-hearted demigod. Present company excluded, of course, Madam Senator. It communicates, this clip, in Kamala Harris, a willingness to take a government employee, a colleague, and to position him as a KKK terrorist. Why? Because the stakes of the game require it. The stakes of the game are the Democrats have failed to convince Americans to trash the Electoral College. They recognize it requires a constitutional amendment. Until they seize the Supreme Court, which may happen, And the Supreme Court then says, yeah, forget the constitutional amendment thing. We'll find a way around that. Just take away the Electoral College. And at that point, then Detroit, Los Angeles, Chicago, Dallas, New York, and a couple other cities run the entire nation, period. That game is over. Until that happens, they are held up by the Electoral College. And so they are flooding the country with immigrants who will vote leftist. And they don't even need to vote to change the complexion of Congress, as we talked about. Now, something that's happening here is, as this is occurring, there has become a split between rich, very rich, mega rich donors, the oligarchs. Some are breaking for President Trump. Some are breaking for Joe Biden. Some, the establishment, the people who run Joe Biden, or in this case now, Kamala Harris, the new boss, same as the old boss, because neither of them are actually boss. Some of them are siding with that side, others with President Trump. Here's an example of this. Here is, in this case, a guy siding with the authoritarians, that is, the Kamala Harris and the people who run Kamala Harris. This is Mark Cuban attempting to explain white privilege.
So I need all of us to really open up and talk to each other, even when it's difficult, even when it's not something that we're comfortable with, particularly those of you who look like me in the white community, because it's hard to discuss race when you're white. The reality is, just to be brutally honest, when people talk about white privilege, we get defensive. Mechanism that I call manufacturing equivalency to try to protect ourselves. We'll say, well, I have a lot of black friends. We'll say that I grew up in a mixed community, so I'm not like that. I can't possibly be someone who takes advantage of white privilege. We manufacture this equivalency. And it's incumbent upon us to stop doing that.
It's incumbent upon us. White people feel this. It's hard for white people. No, Mark, you don't represent white people. You don't represent anybody but yourself. The fact is this, I just had this conversation with my daughter's boyfriend. He and I went on a hike yesterday. We talked about God. We talked about faith. We talked about the moment he gave his life to Jesus Christ. He asked me some wonderful questions about the faith. We said some wonderful things to each other. I so enjoyed the time. It was such a blessing. And at that time, we also talked about race. He is half Filipino, and it shows. And we talked about it. We had a fun time talking about it. And I shared with him what happened to me when I was one of two black people, I mean, one of two white people living in a black neighborhood for a couple of years. You know what happened to me? Nothing. I mean, I saw crime. I saw a murder. I saw a drive-by shooting. I was kidnapped. For a little while with a guy holding a gun to my belly. Interesting story. And you know what else happened? Nothing. Life. I lived in a poor neighborhood with poor people, with cultural differences, differences in food and the way people speak. When I first got there, I learned through observation that you don't say thank you. I didn't know that. When I first got there and was in a grocery store and I got, you know, someone said, hand me that. It was an older black woman. She was short. She couldn't reach the aisle or the shelf. She pointed up. She said, hand me that. Yes, ma'am. I handed it to her, looked her in the eye, and she walked on. I thought, wow, racism. Wow. Because I'm a young white kid, she's not going to say thank you to me. And she's going to command me. Likewise, people coming to me at a street corner and saying, give me that. Not robbing me. Give me that. What I came to understand through observation was people did this to themselves. They did it to fellow black people. Hey, give me one of those. Could be a beer. It could be a candy bar. Give me a ride. That was common. Hey, you going somewhere? Yeah, I'm going downtown. Give me a ride. With no thank you. And I stepped back and said, oh, wow, okay, this is a cultural norm. I was raised around please and thank you. Folks here weren't. So what happened to me? An education, an opportunity to be exposed to a different culture. I was kidnapped. Someone tried to rob me. I watched the result of a drive-by shooting. I saw all that. But what happened to me? Life. What did happen to me as a result of this is I feel perfectly comfortable talking about race with any race. I feel perfectly comfortable hanging out with black people talking about the topic of race, or a half Filipino young man like my daughter's boyfriend. Mark Cuban doesn't represent white people. He is a rich man who has fallen for the leftist theory of white privilege, and he is different from the oligarchs who are falling for President Trump or following him. Wonder what the key difference is? The rich oligarchs who are backing Trump, they are fund managers, largely. They have their own funds, their own businesses, closely held. They are, in other words, uncancelable. The oligarchs who are falling or following figureheads, this case figurehead Harris, who's not the boss of anything, they have public companies with many employees and many investors, among them a company called BlackRock. They are cancelable. They're also blackmailable by BlackRock. Interesting that independent rich voices are backing President Trump. Mobbed up rich voices are not. We'll come back with the Tower of Babbling and then some insight I can't wait to offer you as regards this scripture. My burden is easy and my yoke is light. We'll come back on The Disciples View. You're listening to Disciples View. I'm Todd Herman. In a moment, we'll get to Tower Babbling. I was just excited to share this insight that God offered me in regard to the phrase, my burden is easy and my yoke is light. Let me catch up some business. We usually get to an email or two at the end of weeks like this. This comes from Teresa. Todd, I fully endorse most of your ideas, period. There are a couple of rules of grammar that I'd like to address with you to help educate you. First, a noun which can be counted, people, flowers, houses, on Kitsap Peninsula, is never preceded by the amount of. It is always the number of. A noun which cannot be counted, mud, flower, God's grace, is properly phrased as the amount of. The first example is called a countable noun. The second is uncountable or a mass noun. You make this mistake consistently, and it diminishes my joy in your show. Second, the word potable, meaning safe to drink, is pronounced potable, long O, and not potable, short A. Think about the show Jeopardy, in which there is a category of potent potables. Potent and potable have the same first syllable. Period. Period, 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 period. So I hope that now that you know better, you will do better. I appreciate the note, and I appreciate you listening, and I appreciate you drawing this to my attention. I will make every attempt to think of countable versus uncountable nouns and nouns. By the way, including God's grace, that's beautiful. And I will do everything I can to not use an excessive number of periods in writing to people. I love you, Teresa. Thank you very, very much for listening in the notes. One other thing to catch up on, because we're going to talk about this next week. There's some mobile data that shows that there was a frequent visitor to the home of the young man we're told was the intended assassin of President Trump. He also, that person also visited a DC building near the FBI. Frequent visits between the two. I don't know what this means. I know that added to a pattern, it adds to what I believe, which is the FBI and Department of Homeland Security, somewhere at the top, decided to let this guy through. It could be, and I think there's reason to believe it is, someone they decided to mobilize. Guys, ladies, gentlemen, friends, we do this in other countries. We find disaffected, lonely young people. We meet them. We befriend them. We give them a cause bigger than themselves. We train them. We arm them. And then we tell them to go do a thing. Sometimes we don't even have to tell them to do it. There are special forces operatives who have done this on our behalf. I know some of them. I've had them on my program. They describe guys like this shooter as a perfect example of someone like that. You heard my friend Mike O'Rourke, former Special Forces operative and Special Forces sniper who also trained Special Forces snipers for 4 years. You heard him on this program describe that exact scenario that would involve someone connected with the FBI getting to know him and helping to mobilize him. This data coming from non-government sources should be put to government tests, but not in the hands of the FBI or the Department of Homeland Security. Both of those organizations have shown themselves to be entirely corrupt in relation to President Trump, absolutely, unequivocally. So who should handle it? How about a state AG? How about an international court? That would be interesting. We're going to continue to track this. As weird as it is, given what they're doing on this program, we thank the Lord for placing supposedly wise people on tall towers of shaking sand with our feature called The Tower Babbling.
You know about the biblical truth of the Tower of Babel. A Disciple's View presents...
The president takes shouted questions. I understand, John. I understand. I have dealt with this question about three times already. I understand.
The Tower of Babbling.
Three sound bites in The Tower of Babbling, beginning with ABC. ABC's so-called news network did their part in promoting Kamala Harris.
It was already the most unusual race in American history. Between two former presidents, one a convicted felon who tried to overturn an election he lost, then survived an assassination attempt. And now Biden is the first incumbent since Lyndon Johnson 56 years ago to give up a chance for a second term.
Yeah, that's how it's framed to most people's minds. Well, there's also the fact that Joe Biden won 81 million votes, more than Barack Obama, the most popular presidential candidate in history, but lost an impressive number of bellwether counties, lost the most important states, lost Senate and House seats, the first presidential candidate to do that. Oh, and when he won, it was at 4:30 in the morning after they stopped counting, but kept counting. That's amazing what happens when you take a look at history, isn't it, George Stephanopoulos? Next soundbite in today's Tower Babbling, CBS's so-called news programs playing the race card for Kamala, whom they pretend is brilliant.
She's a brilliant woman, a great orator, and the energy that she's going to bring to this, if in fact she becomes the nominee, is extraordinary. We've seen her in debates before. We've seen her during Senate hearings. She's quick on her feet. I think she'll be a formidable opponent.
She's a great orator. That's funny. Actually, I just laughed out loud and got a great sense of joy that they're going to try to pull that one off. Last soundbite in today's Tower Babbling. CNN and MSNBC make an utterly insane comparison to the figurehead.
George Washington established a tradition in 1795.
George Washington, Harry Truman, and of course President Johnson in 1968.
George Washington in 1795 said, if democracy is going to work, political leaders have to leave power. Joe Biden is doing exactly the same thing.
His decision is one of the most remarkable acts of leadership in our history.
Mm-hmm. That he was pushed into. And I don't know if you saw the press or the speech he gave, which was supposedly live from the White House. It's very disturbing. He has a huge bruise, it looks like, on his left cheek and on his left of his temple. And they're huge. It's either really a bad makeup job or a very bad bruise. I think he had a bad fall, a really bad one, maybe a mini stroke, God forbid, but maybe that. But stepping down like George Washington? No. He wanted this very, very much. And George Washington was offered a kingship. George Washington only recognized one king. The king. The king. Messiah. The savior of mankind. That's Jesus Christ. There are a lot of differences between George Washington and the figurehead. That one, perhaps, most important. And that's a wrap for today's Tower Babbling.
That was the Tower of Babbling.
Whoa! That is news.
On a Disciple's View.
The phrase, my burden is easy and my yoke is light. Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 29. My friend Kevin and I have been discussing this because sometimes it doesn't seem that way. Sometimes being a Christian seems really hard. Sometimes it seems too hard. There are moments in life where we're going to wrestle with God, and God is going to win one way or another. We can choose our own way. We can choose that. But God's way is always better. And in context, the full statement, come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. As we've been talking about this, Kevin and I have been talking about something very, very difficult. This isn't the place to share it. One day it will be. But it has to do with a wrestling match on our desires and the world's desires and opportunity for wealth and opportunity for what the world would call happiness and influence and struggling to not want these things. It's not that we are tempted to go take them, but to not want them. But then again, if we continue to want them, wouldn't we one day end up taking them? This can come in many, many forms. It can come in the form of anger. I watched a road rage incident this morning that actually I really thought was going to turn into a shooting. Those men were acting on fleshly desire, and I saw it. I saw it from the get-go. This is going to get bad. I've been in that circumstance. Maybe you have. There are circumstances where marriage is hard, very difficult. I was in a discussion group the other day with a group of men, and a man said, you know what? Right now, going home is a source of pain. He didn't even say home. You know what he said? Going to the building in which I live is a source of pain right now. And we tried to come around him on that. He wants to do what's right with God. He has a biblical reason to leave his marriage, but he doesn't want to disappoint God. He wants to forgive 77 times. And he's tired. He's weary. He's poor of spirit, and that way he's blessed, of course. He's providing mercy, and in that way he will get mercy. But the yoke does not seem easy, and the burden does not seem light. The easy thing for this brother to do would be file for divorce. You know, there's that saying, it's a cliche, marriage is hard, divorce is hard, choose your hard. Well, he's choosing his right now, but it gets harder and harder with every betrayal. He's come to learn about money that was spent without his knowledge, a lot of it, life-changing amounts of it, without his knowledge. He's come to learn of words whispered into the ears of his three children, words of condemnation for him. He's beginning now to understand why it has become uncomfortable with his family and his kids, two of them now out of the house, turning on their dad. Demonic with his wife, probably. She attends church. She speaks the language of church. She doesn't appear saved. And so he is seeking with our group of men in the support group. He's seeking license to leave. And the pastors have said, brother, you have license to leave. Love always chooses. He doesn't want to disappoint God. The burden does not seem easy. The yoke does not seem light. There's another brother in our group. Just lost his second child. Adult child. To drug addiction. He did everything he could to help them, and eventually that involved kicking them out of the house. Had to. They were destroying the home. They were stealing. The burden does not seem easy. The yoke does not seem light. So as we were puzzling over this, my friend Kevin and I, and talking about it and discussing it with other men, I've been thinking, and I've been having a conversation with the Lord. I had it this morning. I said, Father God, and I was driving, help me understand my burden is easy and my yoke is light. And just at that time, I realized I was looking at this in the wrong time frame. With God, so much goes back to time frame. In a worldly sense, the burden doesn't feel easy and the yoke doesn't feel light. It's much lighter with the Holy Spirit carrying it for you. The more skilled we are at handing it to God, the more practice we have, the more we trust, it gets easier. But in internal sense, we are all eternal beings. We will exist forever. One place, the new heaven and the new earth, where the burden is gone. It's not light, it's not existent. The yoke is right next to us. We walk next to our Savior, Jesus Christ. Yeah, we have work, we tend the garden. We also have eternity of joy. An eternity where Jesus Christ is the, in fact, the sun, the source of light and heat, with no light, with no darkness. Or an eternity where the burden is crushing you every second of eternity. People in hell will have a long time to think about, oh, I bet that burden in heaven is much lighter. Yeah, it doesn't exist. Those of us in heaven will have a lot of time to think about the alternative. The burden is easy and the yoke is light in a kingdom sense. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Because we believe, we speak. Because He first loved us, we speak His Word. We walk in the path of Jesus Christ to make disciples of all nations until God says we can speak again together. May His peace be upon you. On behalf of AFR and Randy, I'm Todd Herman. This has been A Disciple's View.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.